invite you to look with me in Acts chapter 13. And even though this whole chapter is connected, you can see it's a very long chapter. We're going to take a few weeks to go down through it. But today, my message is taken from the first four verses, and I want to speak with you about what it is to be set apart for the ministry of Christ. What it is to be set apart for the ministry of Christ. So we begin reading with verse 1, where it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." Verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them."
Imagine you. Ndipo pakutumikira ambuye iwowa ndikusala kudya mzimu woyera anati mundipatulire ine Barnaba ndi Saulo kunchito imene ndinawaitamirako.
And when they had fasted, verse 3, and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
Imagine pamenepo mmene adasala kucha kudya.
Verse 4, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Now we have in this chapter much to learn about how the Lord separates out preachers of the gospel and sends them forth into the world. One thing you'll notice that is missing here in Scripture and throughout Scripture, in contrast to the way that religious organizations and mission organizations do today, is that there is no formal preacher's school. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had young men write me and say to me, "I would like to know what school you recommend for us to go and prepare to go out and preach the gospel." In man-made organizations, typically what they do is someone sends out a missionary. That missionary goes and gets a group together that they call a church, and then they begin to plant other churches. And then as things grow, first thing they do is say, well, we need to start a preacher school to train preachers to preach. When people ask me, where did I learn to preach the gospel that I'm preaching, I'm the first to tell them that I did not learn it in any human institution, even though I spent many years getting my degrees, but it wasn't there that I learned the gospel. I dare say that if you run into any preacher that points other young men to a human institution where they can go and prepare to be a gospel preacher, that that one himself is not a gospel preacher. The Apostle Paul himself gave testimony to this. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. Now, Paul sat under the best theological teacher of the day, Gamaliel, as far as the Pharisees were concerned. But when it came to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, look what he says in Galatians 1:11. I certify you. This is like someone that's testifying in court under oath. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I walk into preachers' studies from time to time, and I look around the wall, and they boastfully place their diplomas and their ordination certificates and everything else that they feel justifies them to be a preacher, but none of that you will find with a preacher of the gospel. In fact, if you have any of those, go ahead and go burn them right now. Those are the things that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said that when it pleased God to reveal Christ in him, he considered all those things like, and the word he uses is cow manure. Go out and look at some cow manure and think about what religion is. That's the way God teaches his own. It's nothing but cow manure for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. As far as being set apart for the ministry of Christ, here's Paul's testimony in Galatians 1:12. For I neither received it of man. A man hands you a certificate and says, now you're qualified to preach. Really? Says here, neither was I taught it of man. So, if you still have some notes from when you were in Bible school, burn them. If you have any kind of things you keep referring back to think that's going to help you to preach, get rid of them. They're idols. They're idols. He goes on in verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation. Notice, in time past, there's no connection with his past. In time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure, here's what he said, I persecuted the church of God. He confesses that everything he learned back there in his school of theology was contrary to the church of God.
Is
You can see here that anything taught of man or received of man is going to exalt man. That's what's wrong with man's religion. It stands opposed to the church of God. I could go back and contact some of those that I went to university with and to seminary with, and I could look them up and see where they are today, but there's no interest because they're not preaching the gospel. Over the years, I've had some of them contact me wanting to catch up. And they want to talk about what it was like when we were together back in school, etc. And I've had to tell them that's a past life. That what I am preaching now has no connection with what I was taught there. There I was taught man's supposed free will, but God has taught me of his sovereign will. There I was taught of the works that I would need to accomplish, and now I preach one work, and that's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, period. I've had some over the years contact me and say they want to come by and preach for our congregation and talk about the work that they're doing in some mission field somewhere in the world. And I've had to have a frank conversation with them and tell them I could never invite them to this congregation or to preach in this pulpit because of the difference in the message. They don't know Christ and him crucified. That'd be like Cain wanting to sit down with Abel and share a meal, even though Cain hated Abel.
What is your take?
That'd be like Esau wanting to sit down with Jacob after Jacob had been given the birthright. All Jacob could do was run hard the other way. There was no fellowship. That's why Paul says here in Galatians 1:13 that beyond measure, he said, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's the enmity that is in the world of religion that upholds man and his free will and teaches somehow it's a cooperation between God and man. They can do nothing but waste the gospel and pervert it. So therefore, there's no fellowship. Now you notice verse 14, Paul uses the word profited. When he was in this religion, he said, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. That's like preachers today. They want bigger and better degrees so they can get a bigger and better situation and receive more and more compensation from their congregations because of who they are. They profit from their religion. Notice in verse 14, he said, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. I remember being told, now first you start off small. You want to get your degree. You want to get some experience in starting a church. And you want to go as a missionary, get some more experience there. Then what you want to do is come back. And now with your degree and your experience, you'll have a position as a professor in one of these schools, and you'll be looked up to, and you'll be able to teach others. I will tell you, shamefully, that was my goal when I first started, until it pleased God to arrest me. experience. You know, it's exactly like that even there as here. They don't take somebody that's just brand new out of one of their preacher schools and put him in a prominent congregation in a prominent place. No, he's got to work his way up. And so there are many, that's their thought. They will be zealous for the traditions of their fathers in the hope that in the end they will have that prominent place in the end, and then they can rule over others. You see, in Galatians 1:15, when the Lord was pleased to reveal himself in Paul, he says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, when you are brought to see that from eternity we were separated unto Christ, that just makes any separating by men to be nothing. To be separated unto Christ and called by his grace, it says, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen or the nations.
Kuti wewe udapatulidwa kuchokera pachiyambi usadabadwe ndipo ada kusanga ada kupatula suma kala dinkhawa kapena kudabwa ukamaonika kuti upatulika ndiyani suma dabwa iyani chikonga zindika kuti pomwe yambire iwe udapatulidwa ndi Mulungu kuti kuti kulekana na nzako amene unali nawo muzinthu zimodzi sikuma kupatsa mantha kapena kukudabwitsa ayi chikonga zindika kuti ada kupatula usadabadwe ada kusankhiratu.
Even when it says in my text in Acts 13 and verse 2 that the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul. This is the same one we're talking about here. For the work whereunto I have called them. Paul would in no way, if he were alive today, say, well, that's what made the difference when they ordained me and set me apart. Paul would say, oh, no. All they were doing was recognizing the grace of God that was already in me, and I have already been separated unto the Lord from my mother's womb.
Uchitoya uzuri. Ipangu ni vestu. Njipo, kwa kutundi kila mbuye kwa, ni kusara kundia, uzimo ya anadu, mundipatulia ya ine parana kwa di Saulo, kuchito jimene, nila watu nikia, nila wa itani yako. Ata wama kani Saulo ya kamana kutu mundipatulia ya ine parana kwa.
You see, even here we see the Lord confounding the wisdom of men. Because in Galatians 1 and verse 16, he says to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. That is among the Gentiles. That was a dirty word to Jews. They, in fact, that's why Paul was persecuted so much by these of his former associates, because he was taking the things of Scripture and teaching sinners of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they detested. But in addition, he was going and preaching this to Gentile dogs. You see, human wisdom would say, well, Paul, you were raised in the Jewish tradition, so if you're going to go preach the gospel, take it to the Jews. But the Lord said, no, you take it to the Gentiles. You go to the nations. And that's what we see unfolding here now, coming back to Acts 13. Notice in verse 1, now there were in the church, that is the congregation of called out ones, these who were already recognized of God and appointed of God, who were preaching and teaching. That's what it says, certain prophets and teachers. The Lord was gifting them and enabling them to preach to these that were gathered here at Antioch in the church.
Ndipo kunali aneneri la projects atogea mpingo musayari mawati mpingo amadzokera zosangidwa oitanidwa okatidwa timungu naikale zikola basi sekere kiti kuna zeka zazuma kuti mpingo wakaja wo mudali udali moitanidwa kale ndipo ndali moitanidwa kale mulungu mwadzoela ndawo anapereka mphatso zauneneri ndi kukhunzitsa mpingo wakewo umene udali ku Antiokeya.
And the Lord was bringing together, calling out to his name, men who were not Jews only. Yes, Saul was, but he didn't send them to the Jews. You have here among the teachers one called Simeon that was called Niger. Where is Nigeria? Where is Niger? This is an African who was in Antioch, and the Lord had taught him of Christ. And he was ministering there in Antioch. Look down too, it says, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. There's one that was called out from Herod's household and was ministering here to the congregation in Antioch. That's the way the Lord does it. See, what we're witnessing here is that even though for thousands of years the focus and emphasis had been upon the Jews and upon Israel, and they had the types and pictures and prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the Lord blinded them for the most part. Now, what we're seeing is him opening the doors of the gospel and his kingdom to the Gentile nations. This is according to God's purpose. The winds of providence, he turns them whithersoever he will. I can remember when the Lord was pleased to open my heart in Ivory Coast. I was in a little town called Gayo that didn't have more than a 5,000 population, had no running water or electricity, back in this forest town. And that's where it pleased God to reveal Christ in me. And from that little beginning, seeing how the Lord has now raised up preachers of the gospel, and there's not one brick and mortar Bible school that I've ever built, that the Lord himself is raising up, even like yourselves, through the preaching of the gospel. I know people look at Africa like it's a dark continent, but I will tell you, as far as my own personal experience is concerned, I know personally and fellowship more with preachers from Africa than any one preacher here in the United States. It's there that the Lord has caused the winds of providence to blow, and over these past 33 years, seeing the Lord, not Ken, but the Lord, raise up congregations. When I meet on Skype before I meet with you, I'm meeting with preachers from five different nations that Skype now together with me. And all I'm doing is continuing to sow the seed of Christ. And where they are, they're taking it now and preaching it to those that the Lord brings their way. That's how He works. I will tell you that reading the scriptures, it has always been God's purpose from eternity to save sinners from every tribe, nation, and tongue. That's why we read in scripture, even all the way back in the Old Testament, when the Lord delivered Israel and brought them out of Egypt with a high hand after having slain that Passover lamb. Do you realize the scriptures say there were some Egyptians that having been taught of the God of Israel went with the Israelites out into the desert? They weren't even Israel. The Apostle Paul reminded the Galatians, because there were those that said, well, we have Abraham as our father because he was a Jew. And Paul reminded them that when God called Abraham, he was not a Jew. He was a Syrian. He was not even yet circumcised when God called him. So he was a non-Jew. God already working his purpose.
Amara susa ayuda,
Rahab the harlot, that's her name, the harlot, was a Canaanite woman, and yet separated unto the Lord even before she knew it. And yet in time it was revealed in her, and that scarlet thread that she put in the window was a testimony to that faith that the Spirit of God revealed in her, scarlet being red, representing the blood of Christ, that this was the God to whom now she was attached and joined with by God's grace. And she was put in the lineage of Christ, not even a Jew. About Ruth, the Moabites. That was a cursed nation. And yet, here was one separated unto the Lord even before she knew it. And the Lord was pleased to draw her out of Moab through some very unusual circumstances and bring her to marry Boaz, a type of Christ. And from her lineage now came the seed of Christ. You see, we saw this already even in Acts 11, how the Lord used persecution to cause those in Jerusalem to be spread abroad. And yet it says that some of these that came to Antioch in verse 19, initially preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. They did that because at that point, that's how the Lord was directing them. But they were preaching the Lord Jesus. You can see in verse 20, as the Lord continued to spread these out in places outside of Israel, they began to encounter now people who were not Jews, who were not Israelites. And some of them, it says, they spake unto, look at in verse 20, the Grecians preaching the Lord Jesus. This is the fulfillment of Christ's commission to his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because he has in every tribe, nation, and tongue a people that he has saved by his shed blood. Jesus Now, coming back here to Acts 13, we don't see any of these sitting down around a table with a big map of the world laid out and them looking around and thinking, all right, we're going to send Paul and Barnabas here and we're going to send so-and-so here. We need to plant a church here. That's not what we read. It says in verse 2 that they were there ministering to the Lord. See, that's the title, set apart for the ministry of Christ. Why were they ministering to the Lord? It's because the Lord had placed them there for that time. And it's as they ministered and as they prayed and fasted and sought the Lord's will as to his direction that the Spirit, now this wasn't with an audible voice, but the Spirit gave them oneness of mind that it was time to separate out Barnabas and Saul and send them forth for the work of the ministry. That's how the Spirit works. If I were to put an outline to this study, it would be number one, they were set apart in the church. We saw that in verse one. Not in some pastoral school or preacher school. No, in the church. It's from the church. It's from the congregation, the called out one, that the Lord sends out his gospel. It's not through mission organizations. And the second point I would underscore is they were set apart as already ministering unto the Lord. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord. I've had young men come to me and say they feel called to preach the gospel. And my answer to them is, are you preaching the gospel now? Because if you're not preaching the gospel now, it means you've never known the gospel. So how is it you can say you're called to preach the gospel? I had a young man not too far from here in Shreveport that found out I was a preacher of the gospel, and so he asked me, he said, what do I do to be able to be trained to preach the gospel? Because I feel God's call to preach the gospel. And I said, well, what are you doing now? And he said, well, I'm in this little congregation and I'm in charge of the young people. I'm the youth director. And so I'm in charge of the programs. And I stopped him. I said, that's not what I asked you. What I asked you is, are you preaching the gospel now? And he said, well, they don't give me opportunity to preach in the worship service. So I'm off to the side with the young people, but I'd like to get where I can preach to the congregation and from the pulpit. And I told him, that's still not answering my question. Are you now preaching the gospel? I don't care where you are. If you don't know the gospel, unless God has been pleased to reveal Christ in you, the hope of glory, as he's revealed in scripture, you're not called to preach. That's just your own, a figment of your own imagination. Now, one of the points I would make here in this second point that those that are separated for the ministry of Christ are already ministering to the Lord. That word minister is a word that is unique. It refers to somebody being a public servant who serves without any pay. In other words, they're doing it for the good of the people. That's a public servant. That's the word that's used there. I'll tell you, there are many today that are preaching for the financial gain that they can get from it. In fact, they move from place to place based on who will offer them more money. Those aren't servants of the Lord. These ministered to the Lord without any financial demands. It was the Lord who had revealed himself in them, and therefore they, as they had been taught, they spoke, they ministered. Free. Before Barnabas and Saul were sent out, they didn't sit down and negotiate a salary and say, well, now, if we're going to be sent, then we need just so much money to do this. No. Paul said that he labored with his own hands. He was a tent maker, so as not to be at the charge of any man. Be careful what you ask, because when people pay your salary, guess what? They're also going to try to dictate what you preach. And you better not get money givers upset. Because if you do, then the first thing that's going to go is your salary. Well, if you're the Lord's anyway, it's not going to matter. Go up there and work with your hands. That's what I do. I'm not at the charge of any man. And it not only frees me up in the preaching of the gospel, but it enables me to give as the Lord directs as well. I'm not a beggar. Here in Shreveport looks after my basic needs and that of my family, and I'm thankful. But I don't depend on that for my living. In fact, if tomorrow any of them should say, well, we're not going to support you anymore, I would tell them that's fine, but I'm still going to preach the gospel to those that the Lord would have remain to hear, and I'll just keep right on working.
Una sera mi sono sorta di solano. E lui si sa di sa, anzi, anche per una cosa, hanno 40 bisogni. Questa è una cosa che non ha, in era a quella comunità da mezzo di un cassetto di giallucci, deve andare a secondo primo, non credo che faccia giallucci, ne fanno di vero sega. O se non come ne è, come come la buca, la riglade. Ci fuga, non c'è proprio una suma che c'è in sera, di tanti giorni di rosso, e meno qua cattiva di uno. Poi c'è quello che per anni, o per fa, per anni, sono andati da dire, ci fuga. Se non c'è una legge che non c'è, non c'è almeno un'unica, o almeno un'unica, o pure, se vuoi fare legge, se non c'è una legge, non c'è una.
Well, our time's gone, but the third and final point I would bring out is that to be set apart for the ministry of Christ is to be set apart by the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. The Spirit directs through the congregation and brings people to one mind. See, there wasn't a vote taken here, but of one mind, they were directed of the Spirit to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry. I'm sure that you have experienced that there in Malawi. Brother James, you are not at Lilongwe right now with a congregation established because you sat down one day and said, I think I'll start a church in Lilongwe. Initially, you thought the Lord was directing in Blantyre. And now the winds of providence have moved you to Lilongwe. You've got Brother Austin that has just moved up there. How did that happen? It wasn't by sitting down and voting. It was as the Lord directed each one and together saw the mind of the Lord and so have given their blessing in this. That's how he works.
Church.
There's some that want to make a big deal of verse 3 and say, now we have a pattern or a biblical example of an ordination service. So we're going to get together, we're going to fast, we're going to pray, and we're going to lay our hands on these, and we're going to send them away. I will tell you, the ordination of these was not of these men, nor by these means. The ordination was of the Lord. When the Lord said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul, all they were doing was giving their blessing to what the Lord had already ordained. I have people asking me all the time if I'm an ordained minister. And I find out quickly the reason they want to know isn't because they're interested in hearing the gospel, but they're looking for someone either to marry them or bury a relative. That's why they want an ordained minister. I'm prayerfully ordained, but not of men, of the Lord, and not to spend my time doing weddings and funerals, but to preach the gospel. That's how you know one has been set apart unto the ministry of the Lord. The Spirit has set them apart, revealing Christ in them, and they have but one message, Christ and Him crucified. These that were set apart were not set apart to go and establish mission works around the world. No. They were fulfilling the commission of Christ where he said, go ye into all the world and preach what? The gospel. That's the work of God, where the gospel is set forth in truth. And I thank God that He is raising up laborers and sending them forth. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers into his harvest. It's not our work, it's his. Well, as the Lord directs, we'll pick up with this next time. I'm thankful for the opportunity to have spoken to you from this word, and it's my prayer it's been a word of the Lord for each of us.